or I don't know what color it's going to show up on yours, but basically it should be highlighted, that Milton wanted to change the language from the print that we had for principles for the use of who is. Milton wanted to change it to who is task force number one's goal was to balance the concerns and needs of domain name, registrants, legitimate who is, data users, registrars, and registries. Let's just take that part of it before. Does anybody object to, because we had balancing the needs among different stakeholders related to accuracy, reliability, and access.
Where is the revised text in the document? I've gotten what Glenn sent around.
Oh, you got what Glenn sent around? Okay, then let me try to help you with that one. Do you still haven't gotten the one that I sent?
No.
That's kind of strange. Okay.
You sent it to the list, too.
Yeah.
So it should be on in your inbox.
So weird. I've downloaded it, though.
All right, well, if it's not there, it is in section under, okay, process followed. Number three, we have where we list the milestones. We have milestone one, and then let's see. Hold on. I'm trying to look for it in Glenn's version. It's a lot harder, actually.
Yeah.
All right. In the main version, principles of for the use, it's right under milestone one. David, so you got a milestone one, needs and justifications, and above, and the first thing is principles for the use of who is. You still there, David?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was on mute. I'm still here. I'm just looking for it. Keep going. I'll find it somehow.
Okay, if you look, if you could do a search in the email.
I got it.
Okay, good. So the original language was, who is task force goal is to strike a balance among concerns and needs of the different stakeholders related to accuracy, reliability, access, and privacy issues to ensure that whatever process we developed did not prevent the free flow of information. Milton's first change was to change the definition of different stakeholders to domain name registrants, legitimate who is data users, registrars, and registries.
I'm fine with that.
You're fine with that? Okay. Then the next sentence he has is, we recognize the need to take into account issues of privacy and data protection, data accuracy, registrant accountability, and system burdens. Anybody object to that part of it? Okay. And then the third sentence, which I think is the one that sparked a little discussion, was, we also recognize the need to ensure that whatever process we develop must not prevent exchanges of information needed to make the DNS as a technical system operate smoothly and efficiently. And this is kind of what, David Ferris, you had responded to in your email, your first email, or actually second email, which basically says that, because Milton had said that he wanted to take out the concept of free flow of information. And then you had said that the OECD guidelines specifically reference balancing privacy protection and the free flow of information, and so you were going to try to provide some revised text.
Yeah, but I haven't done it yet.
Okay, you want to just provide that as, we'll just make that an action item?
Sure. Because I'm concerned that Milton's last sentence prejudges the definition of legitimate user that we're continuing to discuss here.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that legitimate who is data users is, I know it's going round and round in circles, but it is of concerns because it's, depending on which point of view you have, it's either kind of keeps the information flow going or it's going to restrict information flow to certain people. So it's, I think that kind of that legitimate who is data users is going to be real, the key to a lot of that paragraph.
Yeah, and if you go back to, let's see what Milton says about that, because someone had pointed out last week that it may be best to just kind of go to the description of work although Milton I don't think agrees with what the description of work says.
I mean, as I read what this last sentence says, IP infringement investigations would not be covered.
And I think that's probably one of his points, and so therefore we have a disagreement in the group. Let's see.
This is Barbara. I just joined the call.
Oh, hey, Barbara. Let me go to what the description of work says, because I think it was Jeremy, I think you pointed out last week, which was a good point, that kind of should probably just restate what the description of work says about that. So about that point, it says that the net effect, or no, I'm sorry, that's the wrong sentence.
Something along the lines of whatever we come up, we can't impact. Find it in a second.
Yeah, I'm looking for the specific words, because you read it last week, which was...
Few seconds, I think I'll have it.
Okay, the task force should continue the effects of any proposed policy changes on the ability of groups such as law enforcement, intellectual property, internet service providers, and consumers to continue to retrieve information necessary to perform their functions. I think that was the sentence that you read.
Yeah, that's the one.
Is that towards the end of it? I can't find that.
In the description of work? It's under in scope. This is the description of work, not the preliminary report.
I see it, okay.
Okay, so in the description of work, the second sentence. So it's basically saying...
David Maher joining.
Good morning, David. So the sentence is basically saying that we need to consider the effects on law enforcement, IP owners, ISPs, and consumers to continue to retrieve the information. Or, I'm sorry, to continue to retrieve information necessary to perform their functions. So I think Milton's kind of statement, you know, I think that is beyond the scope. I think the scope is really, we could take his sentence, and we also recognize the need to ensure that whatever process we develop must not prevent exchanges of information needed by groups such as law enforcement, intellectual.
It's almost like you need another sentence, because this sentence doesn't rule that out. It just says we also need to do this, you know, recognize the needs of basically a technical people, and then maybe another sentence or an addition part to this sentence that says, and also these other groups such as, you know, law enforcement, ISPs, consumers.
Yeah. Well, is that really a separate group? Oh, yeah, you're right, it is. Okay, so I shouldn't have written over that. That wasn't smart.
Or just expand, he says, to make the DNS as a technical system, maybe make that exchange of information needed.
Needed to make the DNS as a technical system operate smoothly and efficiently. In addition, the task force considered the effects of proposed changes. I'm just going to copy that sentence.
Yeah, on the ability of, yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Okay. I think that should satisfy everyone. And I think, David, I think that kind of avoids the whole controversy of the OECD.
So can you read it? Where is this going and where? Can you read it again? I'm sorry.
That's okay. Okay, so here's what it now says. And we took Milton's sentence and added an additional one. So it says, who is Task Force 1's goal was to balance the concerns and needs of domain name registrants, legitimate WHOIS data users, registrars, and registries. We recognize the need to take into account issues of privacy and data protection, data accuracy, registrant accountability, and system burdens. We also recognize the need to ensure that whatever process we develop must not prevent exchanges of information needed to make the DNS as a technical system operate smoothly and efficiently. In addition, the task force considered the effects of proposed changes on the ability of groups such as law enforcement, intellectual property owners,
ISPs,
internet service providers, and consumers to continue to retrieve information necessary to perform their functions.
Can you read the first section of that last sentence?
In addition, task force considered the effects of proposed changes on the ability of groups such as law enforcement, intellectual property owners, internet service providers, and consumers.
But I don't think that captures it. It's not discussed the ability of them, because he says need to ensure that whatever process we develop must not prevent exchanges of information. Don't we also need a similar statement? Because saying we discussed the ability of them doing it doesn't say that we think that they should have the ability to do it. Are you following me?
Yeah, you know what we might have to write in there in that spot is to write in, basically there is disagreement amongst the group.
The description that you read earlier says that we need to at least assess the impact that it would have on IP owners, et cetera, right?
Yeah, well, it says, what it first said is we also recognize the need to ensure that whatever process we develop must not prevent exchange of information to make DNS as a technical system operate smoothly and efficiently. That's the sentence Milton added.
Right.
And I think we all agree with that part of it.
Right. It's just what goes beyond that.
Right. And so what we have now is, in addition, the task force considered the effects of proposed changes, to the WHOIS service, on the ability of groups such as law enforcement, IP owners, ISPs, and consumers to continue to retrieve information necessary to perform their functions. I think the only thing I can do, because there's disagreement, is to add a sentence after that saying somehow reflecting the disagreement. In other words, saying that there was disagreement within the group, particularly amongst the... Well, then I'll list which groups disagreed. There was disagreement within the group as to whether the new policies needed to ensure that these latter groups could continue to receive such information.
Access such information.
Could continue to access such information.
I'd also like to make one other change up in the second sentence, if possible.
Sure, but are you okay with that sentence? There was disagreement within the group, and then I'll put the two sides. And in fact, David and Jeremy, if you can give me a good sentence as to, a one summary sentence as to why.
When you say David,
I'm sorry, David Ferris.
Okay.
And Jeremy, if you guys could create a couple sentences as to why you believe these groups need to still have the information, and then I'll get Milton and Wendy to kind of craft a couple sentences, so to basically go into a little bit more detail as to the disagreement.
That's fine for now. Could you also put a placeholder maybe that perhaps that we might want to consider a more general statement that we can all rally behind? Because I thought that one of the things I was going to be tasked to do was redrafting this. Do you not want me to do that?
Well, you were going to comment on Milton's, but I think we might have taken away the need for that since we put both versions in there.
All right. Both versions, that's fine, but can I come back to the second sentence quickly?
Sure.
We recognize the need to take into account. I think we also do need to have continued flows of information in there after data accuracy.
Okay, we recognize the need to take into account issues of privacy and data protection, data accuracy, and what would the...
Continued flows of data.
Okay.
I'm trying to be sensitive to the free issue that Milton raised by saying continued flows of data.
Okay. All right. Okay. Then, so that's the new version right now. We'll see. Feel free to comment on it. I still need, Paul still needs to get me the registrar needs and justifications, and I still need to get the registry needs.
I apologize for that. Can you go over a quick timetable?
Oh, I'm sorry.
From here on out.
Our preliminary report is due on the 28th, which is, let me see what day of the week that is. That is a Friday.
Friday.
2 weeks from this Friday, which means that I'd like to have a final draft with very little comments on the 25th, which is 2 weeks from today. So, and only dire last-minute changes between the 25th and 28th. So, any votes will definitely occur on that date, and I may try to, let's see how the rest of this call goes and see if we can lock up some other sections, too, so we don't keep revisiting this. Okay, so the next part...
We have the joint call, right?
What's that?
Tomorrow we have a joint call?
No, on the 19th.
19th? Oh, okay, okay.
So that's a week from tomorrow. Yep. Okay. So back to the draft. Okay, so now the next thing we have is... are there any comments? Did anyone have any comments to what we added under Milestone 2? I added Paul's paragraph on CAPTCHA and port 43. I don't know if everyone's read it, but...
I haven't. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So just read that one and get back to me. It's under Milestone 2. Now, for... in the actual main body, Milestone 3, there was a suggestion, and forgive me, I don't remember who made it, whether it was David or Milton or whoever it was, to get rid of the distinction between sensitive, non-sensitive, and data which may be sensitive.
That was David Ferris.
Okay, thanks, David. And basically, to just get rid of that in favor of whatever WHO is Task Force 2 decides. And I have not seen, I haven't really read Task Force 2, anything on there, so I don't know what terms they use to describe the data, but basically to match it up.
This is David. Can I just follow up on what I emailed to people?
Sure.
Whatever we say isn't within our mandate anyway, so Task Force 2, as this policy process continues, whatever they say is going to actually be... the lead input into discussions on that issue, so I don't even understand why we're engaging in it, really. And I don't think it's within our mandate to do that.
I think initially we did it because even if, I guess, Task Force 2's job, and David Maher, you're on Task Force 2 as well?
Yeah.
Task Force 2's job, is that to just determine which data should be displayed?
Well, collected and displayed.
Collected and displayed. So how do they group? Do they group it by sensitive, non-sensitive?
Yes, in a word.
Okay. Is that...
Are they going to have two different data collected and then a separate one that's data displayed, or is it going to be the same thing?
Give me a minute and I can... look at.
Can I suggest something as David Maher's looking at that? Maybe what we want to do is put the suggestion in brackets for now, or put the suggestion in the document, and when we have the call next week,
yeah,
raise this with Task Force 2 and say, you know, it would be helpful we had this in our document. We're considering whether we should include it or not. And how are you proceeding? Is this something that you're considering?
Right. The reason, and just David, the reason that there may be a difference between what is displayed, because we're really talking about how things are displayed. So that to the extent that Task Force 2 doesn't classify something that we would classify as sensitive, we're saying that there's more, our main point is that the more sensitive the information is, the more valuable it is, the more value it is, the more likely it's to be mined, and the more it impacts privacy rights, and more it creates an incentive for people to make the data inaccurate. So there could still be a distinction even if they come out with something different, right? We're not saying what should be displayed or what shouldn't be displayed. We're saying if this is the stuff that's being displayed, then we're classifying it sensitive, and if it's sensitive, therefore it needs to have this added protection, right? So there still could be a distinction.
I'm really not finding anything useful. Go ahead. I'll keep looking.
Okay. So what I was, I guess the point is that in theory, Task Force 2 can decide something that, you know, to display information that we find sensitive, and if it's sensitive, it needs to go through that other process. Does that make sense, David Ferris?
I understand that. I need to think about this. I need to go back to our terms of reference and think about it a little bit. Because I really think as we proceed and we go to a vote on this, most of the issues that the data elements that are further to consideration needs to be discussed, whatever. I'm not being very articulate today, but we're not going to have agreement on those elements, so I don't even really see the utility right now.
Well, we're going to have a majority and minority, and that's how we just have to report it.
Okay, let me think about it. I'll try and write something up.
Okay.
As
yeah,
I look at this.
Just think about it, and maybe, you know, maybe we just say, you know, if it's classified as sensitive by Task Force 2 and just go on. So either one is a possibility. So just everyone should just kind of consider that as to what we should do.
David, I think David Maher, the arguments in Task Force 2 really are revolving around display. There's a consensus, I think, that for technical purposes, the material collected should stand as it is. But then there has been talk about using CRISP, the new IRIS protocol, to limit access to the data that is stored somewhere that presumably is needed for technical purposes.
Now, why are they talking about that? Why is Task Force 2 talking about access?
Talking about display.
They
really are interrelated.
Yeah.
And the question is that, or one way of looking at it, and this is not really a consensus yet, but if an anonymous user of data wants to see the data, they don't get to see very much. Known users who identify themselves and who make their uses known would have presumably more access. And then the full data would be available to registrars and for technical purposes.
Yeah, we really need to have a talk with Task Force 2 because this is just, they're both treading on each other.
Yeah, well, there's a Task Force 2, I believe, realizes that the division into Task Force 1 and Task Force 2 was not necessarily the best way to go about it.
Yeah. David, you don't have a draft report, any draft yet, right?
No. not that I'm aware of. I'm in Spain. I'm at INET, but I am getting my email, and I have not seen any draft as yet.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, so I think Jordan is the chair of Task Force 2?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to try to coordinate with Jordan and see what's going on. Okay, I will coordinate with Jordan, but let's continue with what we're doing. So let's jump to the next thing we have on here is a proposed section by Milton on, he said before...
Which part of the document is that? Still in Milestone 3?
Yeah, we're in Milestone 3. Everything pretty much for the rest is under Milestone 3. It is under the...
Which number?
It's after number 2, but before number 3, and it's kind of labeled as another number 3, because that's kind of where Milton wanted it in the report.
Okay.
So Milton's suggestion is, based on the input from the community, Task Force 1 has come to the conclusion that it's not feasible to create technical restrictions that will limit Port 43 to a specific type of purpose, for example, non-marketing uses. We have concluded that any access restrictions imposed by Task Force 1 will apply to any who is user, regardless of their purpose, in order to prevent abusive data mining by some, we are required to develop access restrictions that affect all users and all purposes.
That makes sense to me. Especially when he's talking about Port 43, which he is.
If it's kind of, well, that's, let's see. Yeah, let me go down. We should probably put that closer to where we discussed Port 43 and work that in.
I'm going to have to consult.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to take that and put it by the Port 43 comments. And then just everyone look at that section and think about it and just respond on email. But I'm just so you know, I'm going to move that, even though he suggested it's by number 3, I'm going to move that to around number 7, which is really what to do about Port 43, what we have there.
I think it is true, and it's interesting that we didn't think of that earlier.
Jeff, just one point. By feasible, we're not mixing feasible with possible, are we? Feasible is it is either expensive or technically challenging, but it is possible.
I don't think on Port 43 it is. That's why we have to go off and do something else.
Yeah, I mean, I would even say not possible, even.
Well, I mean, anything kind of technically possible with... it is technically possible with kind of secure tokens and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's technically possible, but not on Port 43. That's my understanding of what his comment is.
Yeah.
I mean, we're looking at Port 43, but if that Port 43 query is running on a specific IP port, on a specific IP address, your Whois server, then you can control the access to that Whois server, and then by default the access to Port 43.
Yeah, I think he means the Port 43 specification, not...
Okay.
To create technical restrictions that will limit Port 43 access to a specific type of purpose. I think he's making two comments there. Not only that it's not technical to limit Port 43, but a technical way to differentiate types of purposes.
I think he means also... Just to make it clear on this, he's not talking about specifically Port 43, but the Port 43 Whois specification. If using that IETF standard, it's not possible to find out not only the user, but then the purpose of the user, either one of those two.
Yeah.
That's why that would need to be changed. And if the new specification still uses Port 43, then, well, that's fine, too.
So you would, we would say to inclusion that it's not possible to create technical restrictions under the current port 43 specifications. That will limit port 43 access to a specific type of purpose. Let me read that again. Based on input from the community, Task Force 1 has come to the conclusion that it is not possible to create technical restrictions under the current port 43 specifications that will limit port 43 access to a specific type of purpose. Example, non-marketing uses.
I would go, yeah, I would agree with that.
Jeremy, you okay with that?
Yeah, if you could put it in, and I'll spin a few things around, but yeah.
Okay, okay. Then, then it says, we have concluded that any access restrictions imposed by Task Force 1 will apply to any who is user regardless of their purpose. And I don't think that's correct, because I thought we tried to come out with, we were talking about a whitelist possibility.
But Milton opposed the whitelist.
Right, so Milton opposed it, but that doesn't mean we've all concluded that any access restrictions imposed by Task Force 1 will apply to all, any who is user.
Yeah, because we'd have to come up with a different, if we came up with that policy, we'd have to come up with a different specification. It wouldn't work with port 43 specification, in my opinion. So if we came up with that policy, we have to not use the port 43 specification.
Well, yeah, I don't know if he's just referring about port 43 in that
sentence. I think that's,
if that sentence...
Are you talking about his email called Amendment to Preliminary Report Number 2? The third kind of paragraph in there?
I'm just looking at my draft now, so hold on, let me find out where he talked about it. Okay, who is... Yes. So this is... okay, so he is in his email. So if I... We have concluded... Yes, the second sentence is, we have concluded that any access restrictions imposed by Task Force 1, we should say on port 43. And then I think it makes sense to add the words on port 43. So it would say, we have concluded that any access restrictions imposed on port 43 by Task Force 1 will apply to any who is user regardless of their purpose.
That's true.
Okay. In order to prevent abusive data mining by some on port 43, we are required to develop access restrictions that affect all users and all purposes.
For port 43, specification. That's true, too.
Right. So I think if we limited that all to port 43, I think the sentence makes sense. So I'm going to send that, I'll send that that paragraph around. You all see it. Okay? So
you're
that,
talking about, let me get this straight. Sorry.
That's okay.
Go back, just rewind just a bit. You have, he has, we have concluded that any access restrictions imposed by Task Force 1 will apply to any who is user regardless of their purpose.
I added in there, we have concluded that any access restrictions imposed on port 43 by Task Force 1 will apply to any who is user regardless of their purpose.
Correct. I agree with that.
And then, in order to prevent abusive data mining...
That's right.
Okay. There we go. All right, so that addresses that email from Milton. Then the next email was... let's see if I addressed everything before he talks about against the whitelist. Yeah. Okay, so now Milton comes out, and the non-commercial constituency comes out with... against being against the whitelist. And he says the NCC, the non-commercial opposes it, either to take it out of the draft or lack of consensus should be noted. And then they have an explanation as to why they don't believe there should be any kind of whitelist. But let me, sorry to keep jumping back. Let me just make sure there's nothing before this whitelist concept that we have to talk about. Now Okay, I think that's okay. So let's go into this whitelist concept, which is the thing that's kind of I really need to hear if there is support or no support for it, because I'm not sure there is now necessarily. But Milton says that creating a whitelist is impractical, huge operational burden on ICANN.
Does he mean, I got to get it straight, does he mean a whitelist for port 43 or just a whitelist in general?
He said,
I think he means a whitelist in general, not a whitelist of authorized port 43 users, which is what he said.
Well, he says, as we understand it, a whitelist is intended to give certain approved users the right to access sensitive data via port 43, but he has in parentheses, or other means.
Okay.
And his understanding is that organizations would apply for approval, and once they were placed on the whitelist, they could search, store, and download sensitive data without any further restriction.
I think he makes some good points.
So let's talk about, is that what we all understand the whitelist to be? Before we talk about whether we like it, do we all understand?
Does a whitelist give the person on a whitelist carte blanche to download anything?
Well, carte blanche, except for, again, carte blanche subject to, number one, that they can't use it for marketing purposes, number two, that the requester must identify themselves to the provider, and three, that the requester's identity and purposes is disclosed to the registrant.
Unless it would infringe on something, right? Whatever.
Right, unless it falls into one of those exceptions. So it's not exactly.
I think there'd have to be other restrictions on them. Like they couldn't act as a proxy. I've been saying this for a while.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm scrolling down. There's a fourth one. It says that there's a limited license to use the information, and there's a restriction on leasing, sublicensing, reselling, or otherwise transferring that data to any third party, which covers your proxy, Paul. So that's the four. There's four restrictions. Number one is it's not used for marketing purposes. Number two, the requester identifies themselves to the WHOIS provider. Number three is that the requester's identity and the purposes for which it seeks the information is disclosed to the registrant unless it falls into that limited exception. And the fourth thing is that they must use it for the purpose indicated, and there's a restriction on leasing, sublicensing.
I wouldn't even say it could remove restrictions, say prohibited from, instead of just restricted, to make it stronger.
Okay, I got
you. Can't give it out.
Okay, so they're prohibited from doing all that stuff. Okay, so now it's not quite what Milton said, but I think we should describe it. So is that what everyone understands, whether or not you support it, is that what everyone understands the waitlist concept to be?
I would like to add another one. I got to speak out a little bit.
Another restriction?
Yeah, which is even more restrictive, which is, I was thinking that the entities on the whitelist wouldn't be able, their computers would not be able to get the information. Humans could read it, but their computers couldn't get it.
Can you explain that?
So you mean read format only, Paul?
That's what I was thinking, yes.
So the information's provided in read format?
Right. So they could submit queries, and then a human could read it, but the computer couldn't. They could print it out or whatever on a piece of paper, but they couldn't collect it and
parse it.
They couldn't do anything with it except look at it.
All right. I think I will put that on the list, and I think David and Jeremy, why don't you guys think about that?
Okay, the other one is on the point about the requesters. It was added, only when notification of the registrant will defeat the purpose of the investigation. Who would determine that?
I don't think we make that call. We leave that up as a question and ask. So I think we should put that out for comment.
Yeah, if you could.
comment as who makes this call. Okay?
Can we look at his, I guess his three, 4 points?
All right, so Milton's got, well, what I did is I copied all of that and I put it into, I think I put it in this draft. Let me double check before I actually say that I did, but I think I did. Under the non-commercial constituency statement, I added those paragraphs. Yeah, you look at the non-commercial constituency statement, which is like page 37. I copied that, put it into his, into the non-commercial constituency statement. What I think we should all do is kind of,
He's got some good points. I mean, let's say we do have this whitelist, and we agree on the definition of the whitelist, and it's really restrictive and so on. But then his first point, for example, you know, who maintains this whitelist? How do you get on it? What happens if, you know,
right, and
they
I think
do give it out or collect it or use it for marketing purposes and so on? That's how do we get over that? It's like we're just moving the problem to another space. Now there's this problem in the other space we got to deal with.
Well, I think we have a whole bunch of questions that you kind of set out already. And I don't want to prejudge these in our statement unless everyone feels that way. Because I think
I'm just curious to what everyone has to say about it. We have this whitelist, but I do see how it might be a little bit impractical to maintain this list. Unless it's, like, really restricted to, you know, whatever. 50 entities or 10 entities, it can't be unwieldy and huge.
Yeah, but I don't think it's our place as to whether to say it's impractical or not, that we need to get comments on that. I mean, he may be right. He may very well be right. But he's basically saying that it's a huge burden for ICANN and that they can't do it, nobody else can do it, and therefore we should just abolish the concept.
If we do agree, though, that it, you know, just amongst ourselves, that it might, the practicality bar is kind of high, maybe we could put our heads together and think of something else. I don't know.
Other than a whitelist?
Maybe.
It's David Maher. I'm speaking not so much for the registry constituency this time, but from personal experience as a trademark lawyer and the intellectual property constituency may not want me to get into this, but there is a social utility to Thompson & Thompson and the searches that they make on the uses of domain names. You can say that Thompson & Thompson is invading privacy, but they also are avoiding litigation by making available information about who has what kind of domain name. When I was doing trademark law, I'd search Thompson & Thompson, and I sometimes would tell a client, well, you can't use that name, it's already in use. And this is, you know, worthwhile. I think it's a valid exercise, and we've got to figure out some way to allow the Thompson & Thompsons to be able to review who owns domain names.
Are they able to do their thing today?
Pardon?
In my opinion, they're able to do their job today, and today
yes.
They don't have a whitelist. So there is a lake, you know, a point of space that doesn't have a whitelist, and yet they're able to do their job, which is today.
Yeah, that's right. Both Task Force 1 and Task Force 2 are considering some pretty drastic changes that would make it impossible for Thompson & Thompson to continue, and I think that's a mistake, just from a general public policy standpoint. And the whitelist may not be a really great solution, but in some ways it's maybe the only solution. I've been racking my brain trying to figure out some other easy way to do this, but I really can't. I mean, based on my experience as a trademark lawyer, it is important to, when you find out that someone has already registered whizbang.com, it matters whether it's Procter & Gamble who registered it or Joe Smith, the well-known cyber squatter. And you advise your client accordingly. Even though I feel very protective about privacy, I think that there comes a point where you have to allow trademark search services such as Thompson Thompson and lawyers around the world to review the whole world of domain names. One suggestion that I made was that where a registrant is really concerned about anonymity, and this has been raised by the non-commercial constituency with Milton and Kathy Kleiman, they're worried about human rights groups. And I think it would be better to have an anonymity procedure so that people who really wanted to be anonymous could be anonymous. And that way, even Thompson & Thompson would have to work around it. It would be sort of like an unlisted phone number.
Yeah, we have that now. I mean, various registrars are providing that kind of...
Yeah.
How do you... Then it goes down to how do you remove that and you know,
well,
because what prohibits it? You'd have to have a blacklist and a cyber squatter to prohibit them from...
Well, not necessarily. Most people, like in the telephone situation, most people don't have unlisted phone numbers. And
free, everyone would have one.
Well, maybe. Maybe they're. I'm talking off the top of my head. I'm just trying to figure out some mechanism here that would protect privacy, but at the same time allow what I do believe is a socially useful function to continue. Well, I've run out of ideas, but
it's a tough one. It's definitely a tough one. The more access we have in the system, in other words, let's say this whitelist is large, then I agree with Milton that, you know, it basically might as well just open it up then and not have a whitelist. Then if it's large, it makes incentives for people to provide products and services so registrants could protect their identity.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe besides the restrictions we put on the whitelist, Jeff, maybe are we all thinking, if we all happen to be thinking of, you know, a number, I know it'd be hard to come up with a number because then some people are going to be on it, some people are going to be off of it. Or not, met, you know, there's going to be, let's say the number is 50 entities.
Mm-hmm.
The 51st guy is going to be pissed.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I'd hate to, you know, we all go down this path, some of us thinking it's 10,000, and some of us thinking it's 7.
Mm-hmm.
Be nice to have, you know, kind of a range or something, so that at least we all know what we're all under the same understanding of how many are on this whitelist.
Well, yeah, you know, I can't believe that you could come up with a number, because, you know, I have no idea what Chinese lawyers do when they search on trademarks. I'm sure it's a very complicated process, and it may be that there are 100 different trademark services in China that are, from a social utility standpoint, every bit as valuable as, say, Thompson & Thompson, and it wouldn't be fair to say,
yeah,
well...
But then on the other hand, I see what you're saying, but on the other hand, it's not practical, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How do we vet that 100th Chinese intellectual property attorney.
Yeah.
How do we know he's not, you know,
a spy for the secret police? Yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, a mass marketer.
Right.
Well, we've given them access to every piece of who his data there is.
Yeah.
All right. So, trying to bring us back into this draft, trying to solve the impossible, trying to solve the impossible issue. All right. So there's, and just going back through the draft, there's actually two different things. There's the process, and then there's the whitelist itself. So Milton's got it a little bit backwards too. It's because it should say, as we understand it, the automated process is intended to give approved users, and the whitelist is the approval process. But, you know, and so under that approval process, we have a whole bunch of questions that Paul drafted, which need to go off of public comment. If you think of any others, David, if you could think of questions out of what you just were talking about, then why don't we put those in out for public comment? I mean, I'm not sure what else we could do other than, you know, these are the ideas that we came up with. Some are for it, some are against it.
Yeah.
Put it out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, if we don't do that, then we're not really doing our job because, you know, people spend time thinking about it. And
sure. I have no problem with that.
So we just need to make
obviously
sure.
Obviously, we're not going to come to, you know, we all have a like mind on this part of it. But we need to get other people to chime in.
Yeah.
All right, any other comments on this whitelist? So the action items, I believe, are just take a look at the questions, make sure it covers all the questions, make sure it's worded the way you'd want it to. I'm going to go through it, and I know I promised to do this last week, but didn't get around to it. I'm going to go through it and just try. I want to make sure all the sides are represented. I think that's kind of key. So, I mean, we should summarize Milton and Wendy's viewpoint, and then also summarize David, Jeremy, David Maher, and Paul, your viewpoints in there, too. So if you could just think about it and just submit something in writing to me that I could throw into the draft or try to incorporate in some way, that'll probably help us out. I mean, otherwise, I think we're making good progress on the other parts of the report. Barbara, you'll get to me a couple paragraphs on the process?
Yeah, I should have that to you.
Okay. Now, were you on the council call?
Yes, I was.
I haven't had a chance to listen to it. Was there any other discussion that, you know, meant to guide us, or was it?
No, just the direction to have the joint task force call to sort of, I think, you know, make sure that the report as a whole was going to cover all the areas. But I think your idea of meeting with the Task Force 2 chair, Jordan, is a really good one.
Yeah. And I'm going to actually see Jordan next week anyway, so. But I'll call him before that.
Sounds like we're winding up.
I think we are.
Okay.
So again, please use the email. We need to get this done. So, and I will have a draft out pretty soon.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Glenn, are you still on?
Yes. Yes, Jeff.
I don't know why, but I think I see it now. This conference call invitation you sent on Saturday, is that the one for next week's call?
For the joint call.
Yeah.
No, it's on the 19th, which is Wednesday.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, you sent it out Saturday.
I sent it out Saturday, yes. Did you get it?
Yeah, I thought I hadn't, but I do have it. Okay.
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 Do you want me to resend something?
No, I think I got it.
Okay.
I just didn't look closely enough.
By the way, just on another point, are you on the CCNSO members list? Did you get the reminder I sent out?
No.
Okay.
It's a reminder.
Reminder about the nominations.
I did not, but I submitted a nomination.
Yeah, that's fine. And you've got
That came, you know, it came back to me in French, and I think it was just a confirmation, and I think I followed the right procedure. But can you let me know if it didn't, if something didn't?
No, it got through fine.
Okay, yeah.
And I asked the person to accept.
Okay, and has Fernando responded yet?
No, he hasn't responded yet.
Okay, yeah, I think so the response was in French, so I was like, okay.
In French. Okay.
The confirmation came back in French, and I knew, I recognized a couple words, so I was like, okay, I think I click here to confirm.
Okay.
So, okay, thanks, Glenn.
Pleasure, Jeff. Bye.
Okay, bye.